It's KUTX 98.9. We just heard from the great Muddy Waters. I can't be satisfied. We're satisfied now. We're in live in Studio 1A. Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman are engineers, and we have a room full of our concert club members. Thank you for coming. Our guest this afternoon is J.D. McPherson, who plays tonight with Nikki Lane. What a great double bill at the historic Scoot Inn in East Austin. So have you been on tour with Nikki?
Yeah, we're sort of around the last end of it now. Huh. It's been a good one, but that's a wild bunch of folks on the road together.
And it's a great venue to have it at over at the Scoot Inn in East Austin. The group is touring behind their newest album called Undivided Heart and Soul. And can we get you to do a tune for us?
We'd be happy to. That's true. This is Crying's Just a Thing You Do.
McPherson live in Studio 1A, and his crack band is Jason Smay on the drums, Jimmy Sutton on the bass, Ray Hasildo on keys and guitar, and Doug Corcoran also on guitar, along with J.D. McPherson. So, and this is the band that records on the album, correct? correct?
Yeah, we had a Motley Crue cast of characters. We had Motley Crue record on. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, but these guys are a crack bunch of Cracker Jacks. We're having a really good time playing these new tunes.
So, I read that kind of the real germination of this album happened right here in Austin. Is that right?
Man, I can barely remember this morning. A lot of stuff happens in Austin. Man, I'm sorry.
Had something to do with the guitar?
The guitar? Well, we did record a demo in near Austin at Fort Horton Studio for Lucky Penny. But this guitar, if you're talking about this guitar right here, this one actually came from a different desert. This was from like Joshua Tree, California. But yeah, it's like-minded people in that go to the desert to do stuff. Like there, it seems to like breed all this creativity. I don't know. So it always ends up being a desert thing at some point.
Yeah, I guess Graham Parsons put Joshua Tree on the map some decades ago. So the sound of the new album is, I mean, it still has that, I'll say, quote unquote, retro sound, but it's kind of expanded a little bit.
It's partially retro, partially nowtro. We just, you know, it was like one of those weird things. The songs that were coming out were making me sort of uncomfortable. I didn't really know where some of these weird chords were coming from, and there were some lyrics that were like more personal than I had allowed myself to be at some point. So I guess I was going through something. And it took a little bit of convincing that some of these songs were for this band, you know what I mean? But I'm really glad that we went ahead and went for it. Because I think a lot of times, especially when your band is sort of known for a thing and then you shake things up a little bit, you never know what's going to happen. The real thing, man, is that... I know now what you're talking about with the guitar. See?
It's a great story, so
okay.
If you remember.
So, I'm so sorry. See, I told you. Not a morning person. Yes, so I was in Austin. We were on tour, and we went to a really great guitar store. Is it South Austin Music? Yeah. They were so nice. But I went in there actually looking for an acoustic guitar. And I found this acoustic guitar that was a J45, and it had been a Preacher's, and it had chord charts still taped onto it from the 60s that it would have been there. And I was like, I gotta have this. And then sitting in the room trying it, looking through the window, I saw this white 1961 Supro dual tone. And I thought it was a reissue because it was so nice. And I went and looked at it, and it turned out it was just like it was some teenager started a garage band in the 60s and then never decided to be a chemist or something, because it was like under somebody's bed. It had the original strap, it had an original cable, the original case, and I plugged it in and I started playing like Link Ray chords, and it was like manna from heaven. It was like, had to have it. And that doesn't usually happen. I'm not like a compulsive guitar buyer or anything, but getting that guitar, like all I wanted to do was play fuzzy, ratty guitar at that point. So you can blame our friends at South Austin Music if you don't like the new record.
So the album was recorded in the famous RCA Studio B in Nashville, where I guess Chet Atkins developed the Nashville sound. Elvis recorded there, the Everly Brothers, Willie Nelson, we go on and on. So what was that experience like, being in a studio like that?
Well, on one hand, it was amazing because it's RCA Studio B, and you know, if you're like us, that kind of thing is just, you know, that's like a dream. But on the other hand, it's a museum in the daytime. So we had to load in after the museum tours all of our gear, record deep into the night, and then tear down and reset for the tours every day. And that's not usually the studio experience. Usually you go in and a band's been in there for 2 weeks, and there's like, you know, coffee tipped over, and there's like spaghetti of cables everywhere, and it's like stepping, like, you know, gingerly over like things that are balanced. But this was like very Spartan because we had to like set up and tear down quickly every night. We started off with like 25 amps, I don't know how many guitars, and at some point it was one amp, one guitar. You get tired of carrying the stuff in and out.
So it was a good experience, though, being there.
It was a great experience.
And you, right before that, you had moved to Nashville from your home in Oklahoma.
Yeah. That was a big deal for me. Born and raised in Oklahoma, never been really anywhere else, never lived anywhere else. Got my undergrad degree in Oklahoma, got my graduate degree in Oklahoma. So it's like stayed in Oklahoma and then suddenly moved to Nashville.
And how was that
like
been?
You do. Well, it's great. I mean, if you need a Vibraslap at 3 a.m. in the morning, you can get that in Nashville if you need it.
All right. We're talking here with J.D. McPherson. He's in town tonight at the Scoot Inn with Nikki Lane. You can get info and tickets at scootinaustin.com. And their new album is Undivided Heart and Soul. Can we get you to do another tune?
Yeah, we'd love to do Lucky Penny. This one's really buzzy.
Kings and diamonds and dust. I tried to beat the house, but every hand was a bust. Another day ends, another begins, another night sleeping on needles and pins. I keep rolling where the bad wind blows. I keep running, but to trouble follows. Telling where I'm gonna end up. This lucky penny's been nothing but bad luck. Nothing but bad luck. Bad
J.D. McPherson is our guest here live in Studio 1A in the tune called Lucky Penny. I'm hearing a lot of black keys in that.
Yeah, there's a, you know, we know Dan a little bit. Actually, Ray's been doing a lot of recording with Dan. We met a long time ago. Dan showed up at one of our gigs in St. Louis, and the Black Keys had a day off or something, and we just got to talking about music, and like we pretty much like the exact same records, so it's not surprising. But that band has like done so much for people getting interested in kind of, especially that kind of garage rock music. There's just so much cool music out there that's kind of hard to find, and we're both sort of diggers for that.
And you're talking
thing.
About Dan Auerbach,
yes.
Who's one half of the Black Keys.
Drop that name.
Yeah. I got to ask, how did you get that Little Richard sound on those that first album of yours? That just knocked me out. Nobody can do that Little Richard sound, and you really nailed it.
Well, as far as like the sonics of the record. Just give a plug to this gentleman over here to my right, Jimmy Sutton, who owns a studio in Chicago, Illinois called High Style. And he's got this great studio and this amazing engineer named Alex Hall, who, you know, this sort of like brain trust can do that thing. And that's like kind of what I had always wanted to do, and I didn't know how to do it, and met these guys. And it was like that was the goal, was to get the thing to sound like it had been recorded at J&M in New Orleans in the late 50s. And so, like sonics of a song, or like how it's recorded, or, you know, the production side of it is important to me anyway, as sometimes the song itself. Maybe that's the wrong way to do things, but I can't help thinking that way. Like, I'm always sort of thinking about what it's going to end up sounding like. Of course, it never sounds exactly what's in your head, but you know, I love those things as a language, like sonics as a language. For instance, I'll give you an example. Imagine Hank Williams Sr. doing Move It On Over, recorded in the mid-1980s. It's not the same. You want that vocal up front and dry and kind of overdriven, and the band in the back kind of like in the room, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I said, it's a language of its own, that kind of how you mic things and record things is important.
J.D. McPherson is our guest. He's playing tonight at the Scoot Inn with Nikki Lane, who incidentally will be here in Studio 1A at 3 o'clock with Lori Gallardo. We're going to close out the live radio portion, but the band's going to stick around and do another tune for our concert club members, and we'll have the entire three songs set up on our website at KUTX.org, along with a video from Gabriel and his one-man crew here today. Thanks to our engineers, Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman. I'm Jay Trachtenberg. Thanks to J.D. McPherson and his band as well.
Thank you.
It's KUTX 98.9 bringing you the Austin Music Experience.